Morning. I'd like to speak about a topic that maybe doesn't seem spiritual, but the Lord Jesus used a lot of physical, natural experiences in life to bring things out, to illustrate what he was trying to bring to the people. And I believe today that the Lord has some things for us like that. And I'd appreciate your prayers that the Lord would just inspire it to our hearts, and that he would bring clarity, and that he would give us what he wants us to hear today. But weather is something that really interests me. From the time I was just small, I loved to study weather patterns and meteorology, and that part of my science was very interesting to me. And growing up in Oklahoma, we had a lot of different weather that happened there. And so everyone that lives there has to be in tune a little bit to the weather. Just like yesterday. Yesterday was a beautiful, bright, sunny day here, 65 degrees. It was wonderful. But yet almost three quarters of the nation was under very different circumstances. The weather was very different there in even the South. Ice and snow and cold temperatures back where we're from. And, you know, the weather is a little bit like our life, isn't it? We have a lot of different experiences in life, and we can liken those to the weather, but yet in Nahum, it says the Lord has his way. In Nahum 1 and 3, it says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. He will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." And so if the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and the storm, we believe he's the creator of all this. He set all this in motion, and yet he gave us opportunity to prepare, to predict, and we have the ability to somewhat insulate ourselves from the weather. Same way with our spiritual life. If we are in tune with his spirit, we can be able to listen to his spirit and be able to predict maybe what's coming. Or if we're not able to predict, we can at least prepare.
That's right.
And I think of all the different experiences that people go through in life. You know, we have friends that in their spiritual life, they might be in bright, sunny places. We also have friends, we requested prayer for friends today, who are in some very difficult storms of life. They are in the middle of maybe a cold, barren wasteland right now, spiritually. Maybe there's some things that are rocking their boat today. And yet the Lord has provided his grace and his mercy to go through anything in life. And when we're caught unaware is when we realize we need the Lord the most, right?
That's true.
So the Lord sends some storms our way sometimes to make us realize how much we need him today. So some of the things that affect weather is solar activity. I just want to talk a little bit about weather, and then we'll go back to spiritual things. So some of the things that affect weather is the solar activity. There's sunspots, and the sun hits the earth at different angles, the latitude, and wherever the sun is on the cycle of the year, it affects weather. And so that uneven solar activity creates different environments in different places. And so that creates wind, and it creates higher humidity in some places and lower in others. And then it also affects the atmospheric pressure. And that atmospheric pressure, that we had a high pressure system over here, low pressure in the central U.S., which caused all this moisture that was here for so long to get over the Sierra Nevadas finally. We had been under a cloud for a long time, right? It finally got over, and it went and fed into that storm system. It's all just amazing to me how God made all this. Some of the other things that affect weather, geographical locations, large mountains, and they can affect some of those things. The ocean currents, the latitude, the altitude we're at can affect that. And seasons can affect that as well. I don't want to talk so much about seasons today as I want to talk about weather. And weather is more of a short-term definition because it can be something that happens very rapidly. Something on a day-to-day. We say, how's the weather in your world? We're talking about today. How are you doing today? We talk a lot about preparing for seasons and going through seasons in life, but I also want to talk about the spontaneous reactions of life and being able to be prepared for those spontaneous things. We heard about a man that Brother Darrell was working with this week, and he had a heart attack, and he's in a very different experience. That's something very different changed in his life, and he's in a storm right now. And these things sometimes can catch us off guard. Brother Darrell mentioned the ones that heard the word of the Lord. They're like the wise man that built his house on a rock. And when the wind came, the storm blew, it didn't blow down. But the foolish are the ones that are like that build on the sand. And the winds come unexpectedly sometimes, maybe more than we expect, and it. I love to also study civil engineering, and civil engineering goes hand in hand with weather patterns and weather effects on our environment and where we live. You know, sometimes you see this road construction, and you see these huge culverts that these guys are putting in underneath the roads, or maybe they're building concrete culverts that are you could build a house under, and you think 99% of the time they don't need that big of a culvert, but that just that little percentage of time is when it matters the most, right? And so we don't build for 90% of the time to be able to just go through life and just enjoy life, and then we're surprised when hard things hit. No, we build on the rock to be able to survive any storm that comes our way. Because God designed this life, He designed this world, and He's trying to point to us the natural circumstances that happen in trying to point it to our spiritual life and say, this is how I want you to prepare. This is how I want you to trust me. So we think of all the weather patterns that affect us so greatly sometimes. And we think of the atmosphere it happens in. You know, the atmosphere is actually pretty thin when compared to space. So the world, we've got a great big world here. And then we have an atmosphere that's just a thin veil, a layer around the world. Sometimes, you know, it's debatable how big the atmosphere is, but 99.998% of the air density of the atmosphere is within 80 kilometers above the Earth. So practically, the atmosphere is under 80 kilometers. And for our practical purposes, we can't live above 7 or 8 kilometers, just a few miles, and we're out of the atmosphere. And yet all these things that affect us happen right here. And yet God is in control of all of it. If we get outside of just that thin layer of atmosphere, it is completely different. The temperature swings are 500 degrees, depending on if the sun is shining or not. So you get up there at the International Space Station. When the sun is shining, it's 250 degrees Fahrenheit. And then when the sun goes behind the world, it's blocked. It drops down to to almost zero Kelvin, which is absolute zero. It's just a couple degrees above absolute zero. And I just marvel at the complexity of our world and yet how predictable it is down here on this earth. And I think of the grace of God a little bit like our atmosphere. Sometimes we can think the storms of life are so hard. Maybe that God is being a little harsh with us. But yet, He has conditioned it with His grace. There's not a person on the earth that is not under the grace and mercy of God. We live under that today. In Matthew 5 and 45, it says, He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust.
Yes.
And if we are outside of that mercy of God, we couldn't live. We would burn up in an instant, or we would freeze in an instant, just outside of that little atmosphere. And sometimes we look at the atmosphere and we don't see it. We don't look outside and say, yeah, I see a lot of atmosphere out there. But yet it's there. It's constant. Humans, I know there's a lot of talk about human climate change, but we do very little to affect weather. It's something that happens to us. We can prepare for it. We also have a part and a responsibility to play in it, for sure. We have very little to do with that. But yet, when we look at our life, the storms that come, sometimes we say, God, I don't see you here. But we also don't look at storms in the natural eye and say, I don't see how this is being controlled. But yet it is being controlled. God has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and He is doing something with us if we let Him, that can strengthen us and prepare us. So that's a little bit of the foundation I want to talk about today. And maybe we can turn to Matthew 5 and 44. Matthew 5 and 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that despitefully use you, and pray and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So I want to ask ourselves some questions today. How are we doing in our weather? How's our weather? How's our weather spiritually today? Are we the same in a storm as when the sun is shining? Can we love it? I think there's a parallel here that Jesus is trying to get us to. It says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father. So just like our Father that sends His rain on the just and the unjust, just like He makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, you know, we should have love for everyone, no matter what is going on around us. And we must ask ourselves, Lord, is my attitude conditional on my weather? Or is my attitude constant by your grace and strength, giving me the ability to love when I feel like loving? We don't say we just got up on the wrong side of the bed and we have an excuse to be hateful. No, we don't. We can prepare and enjoy every weather that comes our way. I just think of like the snow that's and the cold that's going on back in the east right now. If you're not prepared, that can be miserable and even life-threatening. But if you're prepared for it, it is very enjoyable to get out and play in the snow and drink some hot chocolate at night and watch the snow fall and play. I have so many fond memories of the snow. But yet, if we didn't have a warm house built, if we weren't prepared for it, it would be terrible. It would shake us. Same way with sunshine. Too much sunshine can create heat. It can dry out. What if everything's perfect all the time? We have some pretty perfect weather out here. But there's some dangers of that too, because we can get lax. We can get sleepy. We can say, well, everything's going fine in my world. I don't need to prepare for anything. And then, what does it say? Sudden destruction. Because we have a storm. And so, we want to be like a tree that's planted by the river of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And there's a place in Isaiah or Jeremiah that talks about the tree, saying that it's not afraid of the heat and all these things. It's not affected as much by the weather. We all are affected somewhat, but when we have the grace of God to avail ourselves of, whenever, whatever storm, whatever weather it is, that's where we can be so much different than the world. We can show the grace of God. We can show the love of God. We can show joy when everyone else is complaining about the weather. We can show that we have a connection to something much deeper than just our conditional experience on the surface right now. Gratefulness is something else that I thought of. The Lord wants us to be content in whatsoever state we are in. And, you know, that can be a lot of different states that we're in. A lot of different weather can come our way. And the Lord wants to be able to show his ability for his subjects, his people that serve him, to be content wherever, whatever we're at. Sometimes we have losses in life. Sometimes we don't know what's coming next. But yet, we can still be grateful that, Lord, you've given me life. You've given me breath. You've given me this grace of God to be able to enjoy. Without it, the devil would just think of what happened to Job. God took his hand back a little bit, and look what the devil did to Job. And yet Job, he had something deeper than just a fair weather experience, didn't he? He was able to trust God and bless God. He blessed God and said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. That's a man that's built on the rock, isn't it, today? That's the kind of man I want to be in my life. In Ecclesiastes 11 and 4, it talks about the man that is sowing. It says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now, this is a man that is very conditional on the state of the weather, whether he gets anything done or not. The Lord gave me this scripture a few weeks ago. I can't remember what it was going on, but I was debating whether to do something. And it's like the Lord inspired the scripture to me and said, he that regards the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. You know, sometimes we can just try to predict and want things to be perfect before we do something for the Lord. The Lord doesn't work that way. He wants us to get our answer from him and go forward no matter what the weather is outside. I think of some of these, maybe when our country was first being settled, when the pilgrims first got here in 1620, they almost died that year because they were not prepared. They did not sow when they needed to sow. They didn't understand the weather patterns, and they almost lost their lives. Then they started sowing. They learned techniques to be able to beat the weather. Then they started learning how to irrigate, and they made this rough land out here in the West. I think of the Mormon settlers that came out to Utah and Wyoming and some of those places. It's amazing to see what they did. They made a barren wasteland into a very profitable valley. Same way out here in California. This seemed like it was just desert if they got here in the summertime anyway. But yet, someone took the time to be able to say, you know what? I'm not just going to depend on the clouds. I'm not going to wait for the rain, but I'm going to prepare and do something about it. And it makes a consistent lifestyle. It makes a society be able to grow and bloom. And today, we cannot wait for the perfect time and perfect moment to serve the Lord. We can't wait for just all the pieces and the fair weather and everything to fall into place before we feel comfortable doing something. No, we have to get up maybe when it's cold outside and start planting.
That's right.
These farmers that have a bountiful harvest, they start way early in the year preparing their soil. Sometimes they till their soil in the fall and let the snow fall on it and get nutrients into that ground. And then they plant early on. And sometimes they have to do some very difficult work to make sure that their tree, if they have fruit trees, they want those trees to start budding early in the season so that they can get a bountiful harvest. Those things take work, and they take a lot of foresight and insight. And when it's prepared for, when it's properly predicted, it can bring forth much fruit today. Also, the analogy of a house. The Lord used a lot of building analogies. And I'm in construction, so I love that too. Recently, I saw a picture of a house that had gone through a hurricane down in the Gulf States. And this house was fully intact. The roofing was on. The windows weren't busted out. It was amazing. And construction. But these engineers, it was an engineer that had built his personal house. He said, I want a house that'll be able to withstand any type of weather. And it was incredible to see because there was a storm surge that came and washed a lot of the houses away. There was wind that blew the rest of them down that didn't fall with the storm surge. It was utter destruction all around this house. And this house stood upright, almost in perfect condition. And I looked at that house and I thought, man, that's what my life, that's what I want my life to be. I want my life to be a city set on a hill that can't be hid. When the storms come, I won't be blown down. I won't be blown off my foundation. I won't be blown off of my course that God has set for my life. What I've intended to give to God, I'm going to give to God no matter what comes my way. I'm going to show the fruits of His Spirit. I'm going to give the world what it needs, what it means to live a Christian life. I want them to see it lived out in me, even in the difficult times, because that's when they see it most. In Ecclesiastes, let's see, no, it's not Ecclesiastes, I'm sorry. There's, I guess I didn't write it down, but there's one place that says, if thy strength fail in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you fail, it goes along with the foolish man analogy and his house falling on the sand. But, you know, if we fail in the day of adversity, our strength is small. The Lord understands our weaknesses and He works with those. Sometimes those weather patterns and weather coming is God's faithfulness to tell us where our strength is small. There's nothing like a rainstorm that tells us we have a leak in our roof. God, that's God's mercy to us sometimes. When we have some difficult things come our way, we say, God, I have some areas in my life that I need to do better in, and you can help me here. Thank you for your rain. Thank you for the wind that showed me I had some shingles loose up there, and now I can fix it and be better for it. Those kind of things the Lord sends our way in love, and we can prepare for the great things that come in life. Yes. Okay, Proverbs 24. You can read it, Sister Kim.
If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small.
All right. If thou faint in the day of adversity, that's like the foolish that has built on sand. And just when some adverse things come, we realize that we didn't have it. But God is faithful to help us here. And that's what His word is to us today. That's what these natural experiences sometimes that we face are for, to point us to spiritual things, to make sure our spiritual house is strong and built on the solid rock. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 16 and 1, we can go over there. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were tempting Jesus, and he said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. So he was telling them that, listen, there's things coming your way that you need to prepare for. There's signs that are showing it, and they're not seeing it. He said, I'm not going to give you any more signs except a sign of the prophet Jonah, which he was referring to his death, being in the grave for 3 days and rising again, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and came out. That was the sign that Jesus was telling them about. And he said, you hypocrites, you look at this natural world, you understand it. You're able to predict it. You're able to prepare for it. But you're not doing it in your spiritual life. And he's saying that he's giving them one more sign. He's giving them another chance. Like he does with us. He works with us. He teaches us. But yet, responsibility to say, Lord, I want to understand this natural world. But also, more than that, I want to understand your spiritual world. I want to be able to listen to your signs, to your voice speak to my heart and say, prepare. I want Him to be able to tell me things that maybe I can make a difference in someone's life. You know, there, I've seen it work. Mom has a connection with the Lord, and from a age, I love to hear my mom and dad pray. I could hear their murmurs of it at night. My room was right above their room, and I couldn't really understand what they were saying. But sometimes as a boy, I tried. But anyway, I could hear the murmurs of their prayers, praying. And, you know, the Lord, one specific instance, the Lord gave my mom a dream one time when I was going through a very difficult circumstance. I was in another country. And she gave, the Lord gave my mom a dream, and she was praying for me, and she called and told me about it, and it's like the Lord had already revealed it to her. Those are the kinds of things that the Lord wants to teach each one of us how to do, to have that connection where we can understand the signs of the times, when we don't get caught up in the emotionalism of what's going on around us, to be able to have the perception to see through it, just like that radar can see through these storms, and they can predict. It's amazing how those meteorologists can predict the intensity of the storms, and maybe if there's a tornado, exactly where that tornado is, not based on any physical line of sight, but all on radar. That's how God wants us to be able to predict where those things are at and be able to help those in need. Our children, the Lord, as parents, gave us responsibility to be able to help predict some of those things and help prepare them for some of that. And so it's not just our children. It's our friends, our coworkers. We need to be these kind of people that our coworkers can depend on for prayer and for strength. When they're going through a difficult, a friend is going through a loss, just like Marquisha requested, we want to be the one that they reach out to, that they ask for prayer. And we also want to be the one that maybe the Lord reveals some things to us, to give them, to help them, to maybe warn them even sometimes of the road that they're going down. You know, youth has a lot of joy, but it also has a lot of ignorance. And we can help the youth by warning them of the things that are coming. We don't want them just to enjoy their life and not prepare for the storm that's coming. The Bible says in Corinthians, I believe it is, that every man's work will be tried by fire. Fire is another type of weather that happens sometimes. Sometimes we have some really bad fires out here in California, and it's hard to prepare for things like that. But yet, it says our life is like that. It will be tried by fire. And it'll come out of what sort the work is. And some, it'll come out as hay and stubble, and wood, and precious stones, and gold. I want to be that gold. I want to be the gold that just gets brighter, that gets more pure, that doesn't get burned up when the test of life come, when the weather comes our way. And so I also want to talk a little bit about the promises of God. Sometimes we can get very concerned about our natural state of affairs or our spiritual state. But in Genesis 8 and 22, the Lord promised Noah. He said, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Sometimes we see the world around us getting very concerned with all these things, climate change or some of these things. But we have the promises of God that says, while the earth remains, there will be a seed time and harvest. There will be cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. These are God's promises. He put his bow in the sky that he would not destroy the world with water again. We have the promises of God that he will take care of us. It does not depend just on the weather around us. We can understand that God's hand of protection is over us, just like the atmosphere. His grace is surrounding this world. His mercy is surrounding this world. And even though it is difficult, there are difficult circumstances in life, we are not without help. We have the ability to go to the Father, no matter how bad it is. Now, if we're out in space and naturally speaking, we are outside of that realm. But when we're in this life, we are under the mercy and grace of God, and we can avail ourselves of it. The only reason why we would miss it is if we choose to miss it. If we reject Him and say, I don't need it. And then there is a judgment, a day of judgment coming. But as far as the promises of God, let's keep talking about that. Isaiah 4 and 5. Isaiah 4 and 5. I'm going to read the second verse, just a few verses here. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and for a covert from the storm and from rain. Now, this is our God. It says, in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. God's names. Do you think of God's names? There are so many names of God today. And it says, He will be our refuge. We think of the cleft in the rock. That'd be a description for God, a name for God. Our cleft. It says in one place, He's our sun and our shield. Yeah. So in another place, it says, Lord, come rain your righteousness down on us. That's Hosea 10 and 12. He's a covert from the storm. So He's our rain, but He's also our sun. Yeah. He gives us what we need in due time. And when the storm seems to be too much for us, He's the cleft in the rock. He can hide us away. He's our covert from the storm. That's also another description for a cleft in the rock. He gives us what we need. We don't need sunshine all the time. We need some rain in our life, don't we? We've got to have the rain to water the crops and to make the grass green and the trees grow. But sometimes we don't enjoy the cloud and the rain. We've got other plans. But the Lord knows what we have need of. We just have to be in the place that we say, Lord, I'm under your umbrella. I'm in your atmosphere. And I just want to produce no matter what the weather is. No matter if I'm having some difficulties in the day. No matter if I have severe storms and trials my way. I want to be able to produce your grace, your glory, to have your gold shining in my life, even in the heat of a trial, in the heat of the storm. Also, in Isaiah 25, Isaiah has so many beautiful prophecies of Jesus and what He wants to do in our lives and the picture that He wants to make in our life. Isaiah 25 and 4, and He's talking about God here. Therefore, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. So these are some prophecies that Isaiah is saying. Now up there in the first verse of the 25th chapter, just a few verses up, it says, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. We can depend on the counsels of God. They are our defense. They are our truth. They are our faithfulness. They are what will carry us through the storm. The strong people shall glorify thee. And yet it describes what God has done. He's a strength for the poor. He's a strength to the needy in distress. When we have some weather going on in our lives, He's our strength. He's our refuge from the storm. He's our shadow from the heat. Isn't it wonderful to serve God today? We can be in this life. Life happens to us and we can't control it, just like we can't control the weather. But one thing we can control is to give our lives to the Lord, to just let Him work through us no matter what comes our way. Sometimes the storms are pretty big and we say, God, where are you? I don't see you here. All I see is this storm. All I see is my prayers unanswered. But yet sometimes in the storm is when God is trying to get a hold of us. And it's the other way around. But the Lord is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our promise. And if we can just trust Him in whatever weather comes our way, whether it's beautiful outside and there's not a cloud in the sky, we can say, God, I want you to prepare me for the next. I don't want you to help. I don't want you to let me get sleepy here. I want to be able to use the sunshine, the blessings of life, to run the ball forward, to make all the progress that you have given me the strength to make, to be able to use every opportunity to further your kingdom, to further the work that you have for me to do. Sometimes there are storms and we have to button down the hatches a little bit and get under His shelter. But then there's other times where the Lord's saying, go. And we don't want to ever just rest on the weather and say, well, sunshine, I can sit back and relax. No, that's a time to go. That's a time to get more done. Lord, help us that we're not... Our salvation, our ability to live a victorious life is not conditional on the weather around us, but it's conditional on our commitment to Christ, and it's conditional on His Spirit working in us. So how's the weather in your life? How's our spiritual weather? We all are going through different things right now, but I believe that we have... enough promises in the Word to say that the Lord will keep us through all those experiences. And it doesn't really matter what our weather is as much as it matters. Are we connected to the Lord? Is our house built in such a way that it can withstand any type of weather? It can withstand the heat. It can withstand the wind and the rain and the hurricanes and the cold. Whatever it is, that's what the Lord wants us to build, a house that glorifies Him, that is a place of refuge, just like He is. That's a place of refuge for our friends, the strangers, those that we don't even know, that we can help them, that we can be just a constant fountain of blessing to other people in need. I don't want this message just to be cliche or something that sounds good, but it can be a reality to us that we can weather any storm, that we can be able to produce no matter what others are saying, no matter who's falling around us. It says 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come nigh me. That's the promises we have, and we can be that wise man that builds it on the rock, and we can claim those promises today. But that's my message today. You pray for me.